we finally made it. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. Welcome to those who are on the phone tonight and those of you on the video broadcast. We're just a couple minutes late getting started. Thank you for your patience as we begin this process tonight. Each Tuesday night, we meet to discuss another one of the qualities of an intentional creator. And this is a special night because at 5 o'clock on Monday morning of this week, we finished the last word that's going into the book. Edits are complete, and the proofreaders are going through it to finalize it right now. And here in just a few days, the layout will be finished, and it's off to the printer. Very excited to be able to have this book ready. It's entitled, Today I Begin a New Life. If you would like to get a copy of it, go to www.augmandino.com/begin, B-E-G-I-N. That's augmandino.com/begin. You have an opportunity to purchase 10 copies of the book if you'd like to help us get this word out to everybody. If you keep one, give 9 away to people whose lives could be blessed. We're going to invite everyone to attend a very special coaching program for 8 weeks, in which I will go through the book chapter by chapter and help people implement these principles in their life as they're found in the book. So if you'd like to participate, go to augmandino.com/begin. Put in the order for the 10 books. It's $199. That's basically the retail price on the book, and the coaching is free. And I will sign those copies as soon as they come off the print. You will receive immediately a PDF of the edited version of the book. So you'll have that immediately. So you'll be able to start reading and studying, and then as soon as the book comes off the press here in about 5 or 6 weeks, takes a while for glue to dry, etc., I'll sign those copies and get them to you so you can hand them out to your friends and family who are in need of these principles. So take an opportunity to go there, augmandino.com. Our goal is to have these books into the hands of 1,000 people the instant they come. We just get those signed and get them out there and start changing lives. Well, tonight we're going to talk about one of the first chapters in the book. The book starts off with the furnace of adversity, which is our story coming out of that dark night and taking on our lives and rebuilding, paying back that $1 million in debt. And then we start with a chapter entitled The Greatest Secret. The Greatest Secret is really the first time we start talking about very specific principles. And in this case tonight, I'll share with you these principles from The Greatest Secret in the next chapter in the book, which is entitled Connection with People. These make up quality number one of becoming an intentional creator. First of all, we go back to the Greeks to understand this concept called love, which Og says is the greatest secret of success in all ventures. How is love the greatest secret? Well, we first want to understand what the Greeks meant when they said agape love. They had eros, pia, philo, agape. Agape being a heightened level of awareness, being able to step back and see a person the way God would see them, unconditional, free of bias and prejudice, truly seeing the world through that person's eyes. Well, to be able to see somebody through their eyes, we need to have reference points. And those reference points come from our own life experiences. Empathy, EM, to step on someone's path and to be able to see what they're seeing, to understand what they're seeing, we look through the lens of our own experience. Well, if we're going to do this effectively, we'll certainly want to own our life experiences so that we can have them as a reference point. Excuse me just a moment. I almost forgot my drink. Now, this is a great time of year for us to reflect on this concept of owning our life experiences, because so many have been going through life challenges for the last several months or couple of years that have been very difficult, primarily financial firestorms. Sometimes those firestorms have nipped away and even caused some challenges in relationships and other things that can happen in our lives. When these things are occurring, we have a tendency to put them in a big bag and carry them around behind us. In the book and in the material you have in your studio, I talk about the Chicago Dream and this sack that we're carrying. I'm not going to go through the dream with you tonight, but we're going to reference this sack, this thing that we carry, the symbolism being that it's, we can't let it go because it's part of our life, and we don't want it here in front of us where we can see it and be reminded of it, so we drag it behind us. These are things we don't want. We didn't want them when they occurred, and we would rather be someone else, somewhere else, doing something different. We would like that to be the truth, but they happened. Those things back there happened. Sometimes those things happened to us. Sometimes we did them to others. Sometimes it was just a failure, the economy, a job loss. It could be all kinds of things. These are things we did not want but cannot let go. And there has been an effort in some of the self-improvement communities to help people release these experiences, to release them. And I've been the coach cleaning up some of those messes. Those messes meaning that we can go to a weekend seminar, and Ramona, I've been to many of those, great experiences for us. And we feel this emotional release of an event, and then a couple days later, it's back. It's like, you know, we write it on a rock, or we put on a piece of paper and we burn it. You take the rock and you throw it out in the ocean. Truth is, the waves of life wash it right back up on the shores of memory. And it's still there. We find ourselves dragging it around again. How do we let go of that? How do we get that out of our life? And the secret is we're not supposed to. This is a great discovery. Great discovery. These are parts of our life. This is what helped create our character. We would never want to let go of these experiences. Now, would we like to release some of the emotion around them, the guilt or the shame, feeling bad about what we've done, shame feeling bad about who we are? Absolutely. Do we want to let go of anger? Yes. Resentment, resistance, rebellion, jealousy? Absolutely. The experience itself, we want to separate from those emotions. Take the experience, hold it in our hands. And instead of asking that unanswerable question, talked about this briefly last week, why am I feeling this way? Focused on me. Why am I feeling this way? I feel horrible. I don't like the way my life is going. Me. We focus here. And we can. When we do, we're becoming a victim. And here's an opportunity for us to become a victor. And there's one act that transitions us from victim to victor. It's a very simple transition. Not simple. Simple to discuss. Sometimes it's very difficult to do. And that's from, why do I feel this way? To, I wonder if anybody else is having a similar experience. This is the most critical moment we'll make in our journey to success. Probably the single greatest. From dragging around, being a victim of our circumstance, to shifting our focus from, to, is anybody else? Yes, they are. Then I'm going to wear it right here in my heart so that I can focus on another person through this lens of my heart, stand on their path, and through my life experience, better understand what they are experiencing. It's a beautiful thing to do. We know that everybody's got a wall of resistance. Everybody's holding back their cooperation and productivity. Augs is this wall of suspicion is built around their hearts because of hate. And life experiences where they're skeptical and reserved and resistant, we all have a wall behind which we're holding back this cooperation and productivity. And all of a sudden, our focus is from us and our wall to somebody else's. Greatest secret of success in all ventures, love, agape love. Shifting focus else having a similar experience. Now, when we do this, it can be rough. I'm going to speak plain tonight. I don't want to offend a soul. I want to wrap my arms around you while I talk about this, because these experiences can be painful. I speak with some experience on this matter, and so I feel comfortable and confident in being able to speak so boldly that when we're here and we're dragging this around, we want to be understood. And we suck the energy from everybody trying to fill the void in our soul. And almost everybody is exhausting all the energy they have just looking okay and dragging their sack. And when we are focused on wanting them to understand us, we can drain what little they have. In our attempt to be understood, in our attempt to fill our need, it's understandable why it's there. And some people have had horrific, painful experiences. But we will never fill it going down this road. It can't be filled. The way we fill this void is by making this shift. Why am I feeling this way? To, is anyone else having a similar experience? And we start focusing on other people. We show up without an agenda. We show up without our victimhood, without our energy, totally focused on another human being, and the magic occurs. We hear things nobody else seemed to hear. We ask questions others failed to ask. We understand where they are, and soon they know that we understand. They feel understood. And we have given an enormous gift to another human being. And as a reward, their wall comes down. And when it does, their cooperation and productivity floods out over us, washes over us. That's what fills our cup. That is what fills our cup. All of a sudden, we're receiving from people what we've hungered to have. Their cooperation, their productivity. Wow. If we're selling goods, services, at that moment in time, we can also know whether what we're doing could serve them. And if so, we get to share. This is really the greatest secret of success. This is it. It's that simple. Here to here. Why do I feel this way? To, is anyone else feeling this way? To listening differently and hearing. Asking questions others would fail to ask. Creating a safe place where a person feels understood and the walls come down. It is that simple. Well, tonight I want to share with you some very specific steps in this process. Now, it's dangerous to share steps because it's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, it's my turn to talk, shut up and listen. We get into this system. This isn't about a system. All we've done is taken really amazing human beings who just seem to naturally connect with people and studied what they do. And so I'm going to share with you some of the things that they do, some of the approaches they use. And if we'll use similar ones, we can begin to show up like they show up and become the kind of person that they've become. Then when was the last time someone cared enough about you to step into your world and really listen? Just listen. Until you knew that they knew where you were. And they didn't try to fix you. When's the last time that happened? It is so rare. It is so rare. Tonight we're going to talk about how to become one of those rare ones. Now we've talked about shifting this out of our sack into our heart. That's a prerequisite. We'll need to do that. We'll want to do that. Be prepared, because there may be some things in that sack that are so painful to look at. We've ignored them for so long that it may require some professional therapeutic assistance. Don't be ashamed if that's the case. That's what therapists are trained to do, is help us to process through those kinds of things. I'm a coach. I'm here to assist you once it's in your heart and you're ready to focus on other people. Now I can show you how to do that. I'm just sharing with you, this will need to occur for that to happen. You want to do this. And if it's difficult, you'll want to get some assistance in doing it. And that generally requires some therapeutic assistance. But get those things out of your sack, into your heart. Deal with that reality of, man, but if I show up okay, how's everybody going to know how much I've suffered? Now, a big struggle and the sacrifices I've made. And you'll learn through the process that nobody cares. Nobody cares. It's not that I don't want to. Again, they just don't have energy to. They're so preoccupied dragging their own sack around, they don't have time or energy to care. And so when we keep trying to be the victim and want people to appreciate what we've gone through, we're really wasting our time and theirs, because we're not going to get it. It's just going to make us more and more and increasingly resistant and resentful. So now we've got it in our heart. We're ready to begin. The first step is we begin to notice people. Yes, we begin to notice them. What's important to them? Let us start looking. The clue is, it probably won't be important to us. If someone loves athletics, can we see how important it is, even if we don't? If they enjoy reading good books and we don't, or they enjoy watching television and we don't, or they have a new car that's new to them, but it's not one we would care to drive, can we notice what's important to them? If they have a tattoo and we wouldn't want one, can we still notice what's important to them? If they have a very unusual hair color, or earrings, maybe on an eyelid or on their lip or nose, can we notice what's important to them, even if it's not something that we would want? Remember, agape love has no judgment, no bias, no prejudice. It's not about us and what we think. It is, can we see what's important to them? Well, I don't want to agree with them. I don't think that's right. That's not the issue. It's not even on the table. Remember, our mission is for them to feel understood, to bring the walls down. We can't have conversations about those things with walls of resistance blocking the conversation. We take down the walls with absolute judgment-free, bias and prejudice-free, focus on another human being. Can we see it? Will we choose to look? Those who do have amazing experiences with human beings. And when we see it, let us verbalize it. Let us say something. Now, to prepare us in this piece of noticing, Og gives us some sage wisdom. He talks about this in scroll number 2. I'll read this day with love in my heart. And he talks about the fact that when we're approaching someone, we'll want to say silently and to ourselves, I love you. Now, this was 1968 when he wrote this. Mirror neurons wouldn't be discovered for 3 more decades. Mirror neurons are this highly developed radar system we have in our fight or flight center. Picks up signals through our eye, through the optic center, back to the amygdala, not the thalamus, but to the amygdala. And those mirror neurons fire twice the speed of a normal neuron, releasing chemicals in the body, which cause us to feel. And all of that happens before we have conscious thought. This is happening so rapidly. And Og was giving us a precursor, not even knowing about them, but knowing a true principle and being inspired to share it, he shared it nonetheless. Those spoken in silence, these words will, all the things a mirror neuron picks up, shine in my eyes, unwrinkle my brow, bring a smile to my face, to my lips, and echo in my voice. We have 200 sets of muscles on our face. We may want people to think one thing while we're thinking another. And the truth is, our thoughts leak out on our face. They may not be conscious of it, but their mirror neurons will pick it up, and they will feel a little uncomfortable. They won't even know why, perhaps, but they will feel. Now, if we show up silently to ourselves, I love you, as we're looking for what's important to people and we're verbalizing it, all the things that a mirror neuron would pick up are now congruent with our effort to connect. And oxytocin, who is there? Who will say nay to my goods? When his heart feels my love, feels it. It's powerful because they will feel it. The mirror neurons will send a message to the body. Whew, safe place. Walls are already starting to come down. So that helps us in the preparation. So as you go out into the world this week, especially with the holiday season coming, oh, isn't it wonderful? We're going to be with friends and with family. What a great opportunity to show up interested, curious, listening, lifting, building, leaving people feeling understood. Not needing to come with an agenda to show off or talk about how great our life is or try to pretend like it's not challenged if it is. We're going to show up in their world. We're going to see what's important to them. We're going to notice them. And we're going to verbalize it. Now, if you're going to a party like a Christmas party, consciously, just before you walk in the door, silently to yourself, I love you. No, it's silently. I just said it out loud, but it's silently to yourself. I love you. If you approach somebody, silent to yourself, I love you. See what kind of energy shows up in the conversation. This is a pretty precious way to approach life. Well, that's the first step. All great listeners are observant. They notice. And they verbalize. They say the things other people do not say. They notice that that waitress has on a really cool pair of earrings and says something about it. And it makes all the difference. Lights up their eyes. Somebody noticed me. Oh, my goodness. They might not even have that conscious thought. They just feel good. What's your name? Andrea, she said yesterday. Andrea, those are beautiful earrings. Oh, thank you. Everybody have this one? Okay, because we're going to start graduating now from noticing to actually caring. Now, it's okay to go through a stage. Ramona and I were talking about this recently. It's an interesting stage where we may say, gosh, do I really care about people? I mean, do I really care? And the very fact that we're paying attention should be the clue. The very thought that we've got a question of whether that's enough should tell us where our thought processes are. I'm choosing to show up noticing. My thought processes are questioning my intent. Oh, my goodness, shut up. The very fact that we're showing up, we might feel a little uncomfortable. Like, am I faking this? You know. Actually, we're finally being aware. This is what it feels like for you to be in charge and hear what some of these thought processes want you to believe. They'll say, do I really care? The evidence is you're engaged. You're saying silently to yourself, I love you. You're not just going through motions. You're actually showing up. That is the caring. The rest of it's just noise. Let the noise go. We're asking, am I being untrue to myself? We should be asking, am I being true to myself instead of surrendering to these unhealthy habits of thinking that are questioning my worth and worthiness and my intentions and beliefs and my actions and my ability? Oh my goodness, that's not who I am. I'm the person who's looking and noticing and commenting and engaged in this process. And here's the secret to the whole process. You ready? As you do this more and more and more, you start to hear your real self clearer and clearer and clearer. You are intrinsically good. As we discussed last week, you are nature's greatest miracle. These thought processes that we say to ourself, about ourself, are some of the most insidious, harmful, damning thoughts we think. Because many of us have identified to them and with them. That's not who we are. We're the one who's chosen to notice and chosen to speak. It is possible that at first, your real voice, your real I am that I am, your real voice may seem dim and insignificant in comparison to those damning thought processes you've been saying to yourself for a long time and identifying with. Now you know which one is you. You're the good one. You're the one without judgment. You're the kind one. That's the real you. Balanced, loving, free of bias or prejudice. That's you. Welcome home, or welcome back. You've been through some life experiences that have been painful. You've had some people that were terribly insensitive say things to you that just weren't true. You may have chosen to believe them till now. You may have functioned based on that comment or two that wasn't true. Now you know who you are. You're the one who's listening. You're the one who's observing. You're not being a fake. This is you. Now as you listen, we're going to be listening for verbal hints about what someone is thinking. It's like they're in a fortress with a big door and the door opens up and they say something. They're just kind of testing the waters, if you will, to see if anyone's listening. And you are. You're not stuck back here dragging this sack and burdened and overwhelmed and feel like you're sacrificing and suffering and nobody cares and blah, 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 blah. You're up here listening. You're listening. Your experiences are right here as a reference point. Wow. I wonder if. So we ask the question. Most likely a question no one else would dare to ask. You can almost see it in their eyes. Almost feel it in their body movement. If you're on the phone, you can almost hear it in their voice. And they share a little more. And we're still listening. We're not waiting for a sentence to end so we can pounce on them. We're not waiting for them to take a breath so we can share our story. They stop speaking and we continue listening in silence. Oh, this is so fun. I've been trying to do this more lately, more consciously. Sometimes those pauses are 2 or 3 seconds long and all of a sudden you just feel a downshift and someone continues to share. Or they say, are you still there? Yes, I'm just listening. You just said something about this. Could you tell me more about that? Oh. It's like, you really want to know? I matter? Of course you do. Of course you do. You're priceless. You're unique. How do you know that? Because you know that you are. As we listen, we're safe. As we choose not to jump in, we're safer. As we ask questions that demonstrate we understand, we create a safe place. Walls come down. Cooperation floods out. We're the beneficiary. There's nothing quite like getting an inspired moment in the middle of a conversation, an intuitive feeling. Trusting them more and more, because that's our real voice. Asking the question. I had one recently. It was so sobering. Our family had had an experience with that very issue. So I asked her a question. Oh, she wanted to ask and talk to somebody about that, but didn't know who to talk to. We were there to serve her. question born out of my life experience. She'd been with other people, but nobody had really heard it. I could feel where she was headed. She was exploring. You can do this too. And once the walls are down, once the safe place has been created, we have a new friend. Wow. Just a few weeks ago, I wanted to be a hermit. I just want to buy a house somewhere where I can hide away from all these annoying people. And all of a sudden, I've got a new friend. How cool is this? I've got a new friend. Now, when we have a new friend, that's when we can make this decision. Gosh, I wonder if. I wonder if you're selling goods or services, I wonder if it could serve them. And if so, is this the right time to share it? And if it is, then you get to share. The visual is that you're in their world listening. You're in their world asking empathetic questions. You're in their world helping them to feel understood. If while you're in their world you discover that you could be of service, then you invite them to come over to your world so that you can share it. On the way out, you pick up your agenda. It was never in the house. You go to yours, you sit them down. Thinking just metaphorically here, my world, their world, we're in there, we're back in our world now. We sit them down. This is when we tell our stories. We don't tell our stories in the middle of their stories or in their world. We tell our stories when we're in our world and they are willingly there with us. And we only share what needs to be shared, what they need to know and hear. And we share this. How are we doing? I just had this impression someone's feeling a little overwhelmed. We can feel overwhelmed a little bit if we've been over here so much of the time that we're kind of now in new territory, exposed, vulnerable, transparent. Is this dangerous? It's probably the safest place we can be because we don't need to come up with any answers to world hunger. We don't need to give any wild advice. The gift is that we're just listening. That's the gift. It's priceless. Greatest gift you can give this holiday season. The gift of being understood. So we get to listen. Question doesn't come to surface, don't ask one. Don't be thinking about one to ask. It'll come. If there's one to ask, it'll float to the surface. Wow, maybe I should ask that. Don't try to force it. If you're trying to force a question, you don't really understand. So just reflect on what they've shared and ask them to tell you a little bit more about this or a little bit more about that. Understanding will come, and with it a question. Nobody's going to script it for you. You won't need to. Don't be nervous or uncomfortable. If one never comes, you can just listen. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for listening. If one comes to the surface, ask it. When you were going through that, did this happen to you? You ever been in this situation? Yeah. Tell me more about that. And so they share. This is where we want to be. So take all the pressure off. Because all the baggage that causes pressure we threw in the trash can as we're walking up the steps to their house. Our agenda's outside at the door. The door jamb. We're walking in just with our experiences, just to show up and serve. Just to listen. Have some fun with this. Now we're inviting them into our world and we're ready to share. So we ask for permission. There's some things I'd like to share with you. And we share what they need to know. That's it. Now, when we're sharing, especially if we're selling something, or asking them to get engaged in something, there's always the risk that someone's going to have an objection. An objection. That means they're hesitant or fearful. They're not sure. I'm just not a salesperson if we want to enroll them in a sales position. I just don't have any money for asking them to buy something. I don't have any time for asking them to invest time. So what do we do when an objection comes? Do we say, look, I just invested 20 minutes with you, stepping into your world, listening all about you, and it's my turn to talk. Bam, bam, bam. You don't have to have money. You don't have to talk to anybody. You just love them, and we start minimizing their objections. Or we treat it as if they ask a question. We start answering their objections. Notice that very seldom is an objection stated as a question, demanding an answer. It's almost always a statement that demands a question. Let's go back into your world for a moment. So you walk back over their world and you sit down with them. Share with me your experience. What's happened? What's happening? Until they feel understood. And quite often those objections get resolved when they feel understood. It's just a wall that came up. Build out of fear, suspicion. And as we understand them, there's no need for the wall. Or we find a legitimate concern that is going to impact what we do, decisions we make. We go back into their world and we continue with that objection addressed appropriately, respectfully, because we cared enough to find out what was the reasoning, the thought processes, the experiences behind it. Then we reach that point where if we are selling something, it is time to make a decision to cut a check, pull out a credit card. Complete that moment. We usually call that a close. I'm trying to close them. Well, sales training often has build rapport. Here's present product based on benefits, not features, and close. I'm suggesting to you that most of you, and in most products, it's a relationship sale. We're asking someone to trust us. We are beginning a relationship. We don't have it yet. We've just cared enough to listen, take down walls, and create a safe enough place to have this discussion. The question is, do we want to do business together? If so, are you ready to get started? Everything to this point is preparing us for this moment of getting started, because nothing's happened yet in terms of the business. We've just been understanding them to see how we could serve them. Can we serve them? If yes, then are you ready to get started? Well, yes. What do we do? First thing we do is we fill out this paperwork, or we decide how many of these you would like. We go to this first meeting, or we do this together, and we begin rolling out a relationship. Relationships, I had a wonderful conversation today with a stock trader at a wonderful stock trading house in New York. A broker-dealer who said, I need some help because I do 60% of the work and I have 24 brokers in my office. And he does 60% of the work. I said, what's the difference between the two? And he said, well, I have relationships with my clients. Every decision is in their best interest and I help them make money. Really? You don't churn their stocks? No. The other people, they have to get them sold in a month to earn a commission. They're constantly churning the money, and therefore, they often lose money for their clients. I don't, because I'm functioning based on their best interests. And the observation was, they're churning to get 40% of what you do without churning. Isn't that beautiful? Relationships. Even in selling a stock for a company. That interesting? Sell a stock, it's a relationship. Selling a car, relationship. Selling real estate, a relationship. Almost everything that's succeeding today is succeeding when there's relationships. And almost everyone that's struggling is struggling when there is not a relationship. So, let us focus on beginnings and not closings. Beginnings. And if we'll stay with the beginnings, then we can begin the process. Now, I want to emphasize one last point tonight on this, these principles of connection. Looking for what's good and verbalizing it. Listening for verbal hints and stepping into someone's world. Listening. And then asking empathetic questions so a person feels understood. Evaluating whether it's the right time to share and gaining agreement and sharing and addressing objections with respect. Beginnings. There is a risk that someone might think this is about soft skills. Behind all of this is absolute dead accuracy with our intuition and our empathy. This is about stepping into someone's world and really understanding. There are, on occasions, times when we'll step into someone's world and say, that person is a rattlesnake. There are some who act like rattlesnakes. I don't think in their heart of hearts they really are. It's just life circumstances have created that for them, and we must be wise not to put that rattlesnake in our proverbial sleeping bag, because when we climb into it, it will bite us. This is not about softness. This is about accuracy. This isn't about naive kindness. This is about caring enough to really understand where someone is. Chances are when we really do understand and put ourselves in their position and see the world through their eyes, we'll be able to see more clearly what's really happening, even amongst those we would sometimes call enemies. No longer enemies. We understand where they are. I talk about this in the book with one of the most formidable enemies I've ever had. Turned out he wasn't one at all. He was just reacting to me. So we want to be able to focus on a two-stage process. One is helping someone feel understood. That could be enough. We've left the gift. We found them better than we left them, better than we found them. If we want to share something, that's the second half. We don't always want to go there, but if we do and the walls are down, we can stand up for someone. If we know that what we're doing will bless their lives and they just need us to be their source of confidence for a period of time, we can step up and be that confidence if we're showing up, if we're seeing this as a beginning, and if we really are going to invest in them and spend the time to assist them in becoming successful, we can stand up for them. Sometimes it takes saying the hard things, the difficult things. Those things can be said when there are no walls, because a person will know that your intention is to serve, not just to sell. It's to serve. And that their best interest is always at heart. And in their best interest, you must say something that otherwise could be very painful. This is not softness at all. This is accuracy. This is making the decision that people matter. This is a big decision, pivotal decision, that I'm going to stop focusing on me and my stuff and my pain and my frustration. I'm going to let all that go, put it in my heart, and start showing up in the service of others. May we this holiday season give this gift of understanding. It's the greatest gift we can give, better than a present purchased at the store. And to assist us, let us study scroll number 2. I will greet this day with love in my heart, with agape love, this heightened level of awareness. The greatest secret of success in all ventures. And Og says, with this, I can succeed. With this alone. And I'll fail, though I possess all the skills and knowledge of the world, if I don't have this. This is the secret of success. And I've just shared with you the principles of intrinsic validation. May you have a wonderful holiday season. The only week that we don't have these calls is the week between Christmas and New Year's. we're going to spend that time. Ramon and I are going to have our week. Those of you who've been through goal setting, you know there's a week when you plan to be together. We'll go to goal setting here in two more weeks, maybe the latter part of the next session. I have an opportunity to share it with you, and I will have just experienced it, so I'll be able to talk to you about it with great passion. We wish you the very best at this holiday season, and we will see you on January 3rd. That'll be our next Tuesday night session. Have a great holiday season. Let us know if there's anything we can do to be of service. If you want to give the ultimate Christmas gift, go to www.augmandino.com/begin and pick up a copy of the book or 10 copies of the book and let the person know what they're getting and when they'll receive it. We'll be happy to communicate with them from here. This is the ultimate Christmas gift because it'll give all the way through next year. A book that we don't just want to read, we'll want to study and apply. One that principles, filled with principles and practices and processes that can change our life. You can hear my excitement. It's been a long time so I could actually say this. Many, many early mornings. Monday morning it was 3 o'clock in the morning, I could go back to sleep. I had to get up and finish that last couple of paragraphs that I've been wanting to have just right. And now they are. Well, thanks everybody. We love you, appreciate you being with us tonight. May these principles change your life so that you can start to find joy in your journey and not that struggle and angst that comes when we're focused on us and our issues. Let us be the rare one. Let us practice this greatest secret of success in all ventures. Thanks, everyone. Happy holidays, and we'll see you January 3rd. Good night.